Okay.
All right, let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for just the privilege of being able to take a few minutes to come together, even from different locations and different parts of the country, and come together in community to hear your word and just to fellowship together. So we ask that you'll allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be pleasing in your sight and to be beneficial for those who hear. So we invite you into this time and commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to ask a question. I'm not going to ask you to come off mute and answer it, but I want you to answer it for yourself. And there's actually two questions. The first one is, what is life to you? How would you define what life is? And the second question is, what gives you life? In Genesis 2:7, it says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." We learn from the first couple of chapters in Genesis that God created Adam and Eve. They were physically alive. They lived in a place called the Garden of Eden, and they were spiritually alive. They had an intimate relationship with God, and they walked and talked with God every day in the cool of the day. But in Genesis 3, the enemy, Satan, tempted Eve, and she fell for his deception. And the Bible says that Adam and Eve died spiritually at that point, and they were banished from the garden. Because God created us as human beings for life, ever since Adam and Eve left the garden, man has tried to find out or has tried to rediscover that life that was lost. In Jeremiah 2, the prophet Jeremiah tells us about this reality. He says, "Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glory for the worthless idols. Be appalled at this, O heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the well of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, cisterns that will not hold water." Jeremiah says that God called all of the angels together, and he said, "Look at what's going on down there on earth." He said, "My people have forsaken me, and they're trying to find life apart from me. They're digging cisterns to try to get life, and it's not working." A cistern is whatever we turn to try to gain life apart from God. It could be food, drugs, exercise, money, pornography, relationships, anything like that. Things that we look to that give us that comfort that we're looking for or give us what we think is life is a cistern. And the problem is they're broken and they don't hold water. They seem to work in the short term. You know, if you're really anxious about something and you get drunk for, 30 minutes to an hour, you might feel a little better, but then eventually that wears off and you're worse off than you were before. And that's a pattern for all of our cisterns, all the things that we search for apart from God to bring life to us. The problem is they ultimately don't satisfy. All addictions and all sin, according to the Bible, result from us trying to find life on our own. There's a pastor in the 1900s by the name of G.K. Chesterton, and he is quoted as saying, "Every man that goes into a brothel is looking for God." Every man that goes into a brothel is looking for God. The reality is, every time we look to that food, that chocolate, that caffeine, that relationship, that addictive vice, we're really looking for God and what he only can offer, but we're looking in all the wrong places. Jeremiah says that the problem is that they have forsaken me, the well of living water. But the good news is God didn't give up on us. He created us for that kind of relationship. It was his idea in the first place to create us. And because after the fall, that relationship was broken, God has been on a journey to woo us back to himself ever since then. In John chapter 4, there's a really good story where Jesus is sitting at Jacob's well, and it says that a woman came to him and he encountered her, and the interaction went, after they began talking, Jesus spoke up and he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you don't have anything to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and his herds? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But everyone who drinks the water that I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give him will become in him a spring of living water, welling up to eternal life. Jesus says that he himself is that well of living water. And in John 7, he goes on to say, on the last and great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed on him were to later receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus says that those who believe on me, the key to getting that living water is to believe on Jesus. And believe on Jesus is more than just intellectual assent, like I believe George Washington existed, or I believe Abraham Lincoln was a president. It's a trust or an action. A good illustration that I have used to explain what believe is, and you can Google it when we're done if you want. In the early 1900s, there was an acrobat by the name of Blondine, and he actually tied a tightrope across Niagara Falls from Canada to New York. And without a tether or a net, he crossed without falling. And to today, he is considered the world's greatest acrobat. Well, legend has it that when he crossed, there was a large contingency of tourists on the New York side who were just going crazy that he had made it. And Blondine asked if he could address the crowd. And he stood up and he said, how many of you believe that I can go back across and that I can actually carry a man on my back when I go? Well, everybody raised their hand. They saw him do it. They believed he was the greatest. And they're like, yeah, I believe you can do it. I believe you can do it. And then Blondine said, you, sir, will you go with me? What, are you crazy? No, I'm not going to go with you. Believe is not to believe he could do it. Believe is to get on his back and let him take you across. The Bible says that when we believe in what God has done through his son, Jesus, we can cross over. And we can regain that life that was lost in the garden. In John 17, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus says that the definition of eternal life is knowing God. And that word know is the same word used in Genesis, where it says, Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and brought forth Cain and Abel and Seth. It's an intimate knowing. It's a relationship. So Jesus says, if you're in a relationship with me, I am the well of water that will satisfy every thirst. But if you're not, or if you haven't responded to that, you're going to look for life because you're hardwired for life in every place you can, but it's never going to satisfy. And so my question for you today in closing is just simply, as you think about where you put your energy, do you find yourself digging a cistern, trying to make life work and try to gain life? Or have you really stepped back and put your trust in, or are you making decisions that allow you to experience an intimate relationship with God through Jesus? Because the Bible is clear that that's where life comes from. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for making a way for us to experience you. Lord, I pray for myself and for all of us that you would just open our eyes. If there are cisterns that we are building, if we are trying to make life work in our own strength or according to our own plans, I just pray that you would highlight that for us and that we would be quick to confess that and to relinquish that desire. Lord, help us like the woman at the well to believe that you offer living water and be willing to accept that. We thank you for this time and we thank you for the gift of life that you offer. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.